The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare dropped a bombshell this week. Their new study shattered the assumption that men are the ones most at risk from cardiovascular disease. They found it's now a leading cause of illness and death among Australian women. Were you surprised by a diagnosis of heart disease when you thought your biggest risks might come from elsewhere? Let us know on our Facebook page. Soon we'll hear from the Heart Foundation about how we can try and change this. But first, Miriam Lum-On from the Institute of Health and Welfare joins me to tell us more about this research. Miriam, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. Thanks.
Can you tell us first what we mean by cardiovascular disease? It seems to involve a lot of different conditions.
Yes, our report covers women who have cardiovascular disease, and that can include coronary heart disease. Quite commonly, that's known as a heart attack, also known as an acute myocardial infarction, a heart failure, and the report also covers stroke.
And what did the study find about the rates of women affected by heart disease over the recent years?
So our report shows that an estimated 500,000 women have cardiovascular disease. That's almost 5% of Australian women aged 18 years and over. And we also found that cardiovascular disease accounted for about 12% of the total burden of disease in Australian women in 2015. And it caused over 22,000 female deaths in 2016. That is more than any other disease group.
One of the fascinating things, Miriam, though, was that the rates might be going down, but the impacts are going up. Can you tease that out for us? What's going on there?
Yes. So again, from the recently released Australian Burden of Disease study, we actually saw that between 2003 and 2015, that the overall burden of disease due to cardiovascular disease in women reduced by about 57%. However, we also know that there's a number of risk factors that are associated with cardiovascular disease that are largely preventable, things like tobacco use, risky alcohol consumption, being overweight and obese, physical inactivity and high blood pressure. And reducing exposure to those risk factors can help reduce the risk. But our report also highlighted a number of changes in the exposure of these risk factors to the Australian to Australian women. For many of these things, these risk factors, the rates haven't particularly changed. We know that there's been a reduction in the number of women smoking daily, which is quite positive, but of a little bit more concern in 2017-18, we know that 60% of women are now overweight and obese, and that has actually had some increase over the last couple of years.
And Miriam, too, what did the study have to say about the differences between men and women when it comes to accessing care for heart disease?
Yeah, the report that was released on Tuesday is a snapshot of Australian women statistics, but we do have a more detailed report coming out in July, which showcases the comparison with men as well. In that report, it does show a comparison of the rate of hospitalisations and the rates of death, and also the rates of hospitalisation that also include cardiovascular related procedures. And so from that report, you can see quite a difference in the number of women accessing those cardiovascular related procedures.
We're also joined today by the Heart Foundation's Director of Prevention, Julianne Mitchell. Welcome, Julianne.
Hello, Hilary.
What do you hear from within your work about the differences men and women experience when they present to a medical facility saying, I think I'm having a problem with my heart?
Look, I think the issues around women and heart disease are quite complex. I think historically we've always thought of heart disease as a male disease. We rarely see it as a female disease. And as a consequence of that, there is a general lack of awareness that heart disease in women is relevant to them. And so as a consequence, women don't always recognise they have signs and symptoms of heart disease, or they don't think it's worth getting checked out. We know that delays in getting to hospital and medical staff not always thinking that women might be having a heart attack or have a heart condition are all part of the picture of why, you know, heart disease in women doesn't get the recognition that it should.
And so what skews our attitudes? Why do we have this misconception that it's usually something that afflicts men more than women?
Again, I think there's a lot of contributing factors. If you look at films, TV, books, our social sort of environment, often the depiction of a heart attack or heart disease is a man clutching his chest, falling to the ground or falling down at over a barbecue or a golf course. And so that image, that view, the classic Hollywood heart attack, is often reinforced. And, you know, women having heart attacks or reports of women having heart disease are usually by exception. We probably all remember that Carrie Fisher had a heart attack in a plane. Her mother, Debbie Reynolds, died of broken heart syndrome or Takotsubo a day or so later. And so those kind of stories are sensationalised. But the fact is that heart disease is affecting men and women, young and old. It really doesn't discriminate.
So women have been telling us on Facebook about instances where their symptoms were misdiagnosed. Natasha says, the hospital told me I was too young for a stroke. It was a stroke. They discovered 3 weeks after the period. And Anne says, flashing lights and blurry vision. I had to sit down. I had dry vomiting and the emergency room said it was a virus. It was a stroke, but now my life will never be the same. How well versed are medical practitioners in these gendered differences?
There are a lot of great clinicians and medical practitioners out there, but I think it's fair to say that the focus on women and cardiovascular disease has not had the attention that it should have. I think historically we've looked at heart disease as a gender-neutral disease, and that most of our studies and findings have been done on men and extrapolated to women. That's now changing. We're seeing greater representation of women in clinical trials and studies, and what this is bringing to the surface is that actually women do have a slightly different experience of heart disease than men. The signs and symptoms of a heart attack are much more subtle. The patterning of heart disease in women is slightly different. Men tend to have big occlusion in their coronary arteries. Women tend to have more microvascular disease, smaller artery disease. And so that changes slightly the presentation of disease in women compared to men. And as a consequence, it can be difficult to discern whether the symptoms a woman is experiencing are related to her heart disease or indeed maybe, you know, related to indigestion or muscle strain, etc. But I think there's work to do in actually raising this awareness across the community.
Well, and I've heard some of the symptoms listed as a feeling of dread or intuition, which must be hard to convey to a medical practitioner that you think it might be serious. Is part of the problem to getting women to actually take some action and see a medical practitioner?
Yes, look, we certainly know that only 3 in 10 women really recognise heart disease as an issue relevant to them. Most women, and I fear cancers, breast cancer, and I think that's a testament to how great the cancer organisations have been in raising awareness of women's cancers. I think we at the Heart Foundation and others have a lot to do to continue to highlight that heart disease is personally relevant to women as well, and not only to encourage them to think about their hearts and heart disease, but to actually recognise those early warning signs. And as you say, intuition and that feeling of dread is something that women commonly describe when they're having a heart attack. So I think over the last, 5 to 10 years, ambulance services, ED services are becoming more attuned to these more subtle symptoms of heart disease in women. But there's still a way to go.
And Julianne Mitchell, one of the things I found really surprising was that there are some clues potentially in women's fertility history that they might need to reveal to their medical practitioners. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, look, certainly the research that is now starting to happen, and it's a very exciting time for clinical researchers, within cardiovascular disease, because I think the new research is showing a lot more of the nuances around heart disease in women. One of those is that we know that smoking, the impact of smoking on cardiovascular disease for women is much more profound than it is in men. We also know that if you smoke and use contraception, it increases a woman's likelihood for blood clots and other complications, so that needs to be monitored. And then vascular complications in pregnancy, things like gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, high blood pressure. In the past, we thought once the baby was born, those conditions automatically resolved. New research is now highlighting that actually pregnancy is like the ultimate stress test for the woman. It really brings to the surface some of the issues that may be underlying. And so we know that for those who've had gestational diabetes or hypertension, high blood pressure in pregnancy, they are at slightly increased risk of future heart disease. And so what that means in practical terms is that women really do need to include their pregnancy history when they're giving a history to their doctor, because it's a clue that maybe this woman needs to be monitored a little bit more closely for her blood pressure or her sugar levels in her blood. It's not to be alarmist, but it is to say that, you know, if you've had that condition, then it's something that, you know, it's important to share with your doctor and for your doctor to, monitor you in the years to follow.
We're chatting with Julianne Mitchell, Heart Foundation Director of Prevention, and Miriam Lum-On from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. They've done a recent study that's come up with these interesting and disturbing findings. Miriam, if I can come back to you for a minute, what's behind the increase in the numbers of younger women having strokes?
So our report showed that between 2001 and 2015, that the incidence of stroke overall for women fell by 25%, but that rates actually rose in younger women, those in their 30s, by about 16% and 12% for those aged 45. Our report doesn't particularly cover all of the reasons for why we're seeing that increase in the rate of hospitalisation, but certainly highlights an area that future research needs to uncover.
Indeed. And Julianne, what are some of the practical ways that women can start to improve their lifestyles and reduce their risk factors?
Well, I think it's important that we all recognise that risk factors for heart disease start accumulating in our 20s. So, you know, we really need to be thinking about our heart health throughout our lives, not just something we worry about when we're, you know, 50 and older. So I think the first thing is to recognise that heart disease is personally relevant to us all. We all have a heart. We all need to protect it. Secondly, I think it's important that if you are over 45 or if you're an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman over the age of 30, you do need to see your doctor for a heart health check. Recently, through the advocacy of the Heart Foundation and others, we saw heart health checks be listed on the Medicare schedule, and so it's now covered. So we encourage all women to have a heart health check. Thirdly, we encourage women to know the warning signs of a heart attack. Chest pain is common in both men and women, but women are more likely to experience the non-chest pain symptoms. Some of the things we were talking about earlier, nausea, breathlessness, jaw pain, back pain, you know, pain down the arm, a sort of more diffuse range of symptoms. And as we talked about, that overwhelming sense of dread, that sense that something's not right here. And so we encourage, if you or someone near you is experiencing those symptoms, call 000. You know, if it turns out to be indigestion or a pulled muscle after all, that, you know, no ambulance driver is going to complain about that. They'd rather be there and advise you and take you to the hospital than for you to delay. Our research shows that many women do tend to put off actually taking action to call 000. And so we really want to see that shift, because time is heart muscle. The sooner you get to hospital, the sooner treatment starts, the sooner the resolution.
And I would like to recommend that everybody do the heart age calculator test on the Heart Foundation website. It delivered a short, sharp shock to me this morning, I can tell you. Julianne, is this the responsibility of individual women to fix? Is it all about making those lifestyle changes, or do we need to see some kind of wider action?
We do need to see wider action. The Heart Foundation's tagline for our Women and Heart Disease program is Women's Hearts, Making the Invisible Visible. And by that we mean not only making heart disease in women visible to women, but also to clinicians, to encourage them to really think about the presenting, when women present to them, have in their mind that heart disease may be one of those conditions that these symptoms could be attached to. And thirdly, research. You know, as I mentioned earlier, most of the research historically has been done on men and then the findings extrapolated to women. We're really now encouraging more inclusion of women in clinical trials, more sex and gender analysis on the findings that we have, so that we can really explore the way in which drug treatments, surgeries, different diagnostic tests affect women compared to men. I think that we now know that, you know, in some respects, what's the saying? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You know, in some respects, I think we're seeing that in heart disease in women. And I think we also need to recognise that, as I said earlier, heart disease can occur at any stage across the life course. And so don't consider it something that you only worry about when you get older. It is something to think about. And as you mentioned, the Heart Age Calculator, we've had nearly 500,000 people visit the Heart Foundation website and do their heart age calculation. It's a 2-minute quick survey. And it really does bring to the surface, you know, where you're sitting in terms of your risk factors and, you know, what you can do in terms of lifestyle changes.
Exactly. It raised my anxiety levels for a minute and then gave me a comforting sense that there were solutions and options ahead of me. Julianne Mitchell, Miriam Lum-On, thank you both for coming onto Life Matters this morning to talk about this really important issue.
Thank you, Hilary.
Julianne Mitchell's the Heart Foundation Director of Prevention, and Miriam Lum-On is a spokesperson for the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare and an epidemiologist.